women in the Bible. God has used woman almost from day one. As a matter of fact, there's not a man walking this earth without the help of woman that he could walk this earth. For it is woman that God chose to bring each soul into this earth, to give us that body. And also, he taught that it would be the woman that Satan would most often try to destroy. And you know something? It's sad, but it's true. Did Satan first attack Adam? No. Satan first attacked Eve. Why? Because it was through the woman that the seed would come. And we come to that time again, though there's nothing new under the sun, and that attack has never stopped. Then he sent his fallen sons, called Nephilim, the fallen angels, and they cohabited with the daughters of Adam, and there were giants in those days. It was a contamination to God's plan, his overall plan. They were hybrids, and that brought about the flood. So it was the daughters that the fallen angels were after, not the sons. Because you see, Satan knows that as soon as he has the daughters, the sons will soon be his anyway. You understand? So, woman has never played a small role in God's Word. You see, this is simply another one of those old traditions that get started. Woman must take the back seat, that woman must do this or woman must do that. It hadn't been that way in God's book, not all the way through. It's a sharing thing. So we come to that time, as it is written, when on Pentecost Day, the Holy Spirit fell on the people there, and they began to speak in that tongue that was understood in every language of the world. That's the proof that the Holy Spirit is there. If every ear, Japanese, Chinese, Spanish, you name it, it all comes through and they all hear. And within this message, Peter was asked, "What is this?" And he said, "This is that was spoken of by Joel the prophet." And you will find what I'm about to say recorded in Joel chapter 2. But it's also in Acts chapter 2. "My sons and my daughters, my sons and my handmaids shall prophesy in the end times." Do you know what prophesy means? "My old men shall dream dreams." It means they're all going to teach. They're all going to take my word forward. That's why the circumcision is now no longer of the flesh, but of the heart, which is the mind. Do you know what your mind is? Your intellect is your spirit, not the Holy Spirit, your spirit. That part of you that you can actually impose on someone else if you so choose, if you have that gift. Your spirit can influence people the same as the Holy Spirit or an evil spirit. It's your intellect, that part of you, that can even go out, if you would, and reach. And that is what the circumcision is of in this generation. Therefore, both male and female will participate in taking our Father's word forward. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing all that new about it. This business, there are one or two scriptures where it said the woman must be silent in church. And it's an idiom. Really, to say an idiom is incorrect, because it's really a Greek metaphor or figure of speech, which means don't cause a noise or chatter, to be more specific, in church. And it means for both men and women, you know. I don't care if you're a male or a female, this pastor will have you thrown out if you start chattering too loud in this church, or really if it were to continue, it wouldn't have to be for very long, you know. Because you have no business interrupting God's word. It doesn't matter that you be rude to a man, but to be rude to God's word, a pastor that will allow that is not much, you see, whether it's a man or a woman. What I'm telling you is that the very line they grab has nothing to do with what a woman can or can't do in church. It just means you should have order. Now, there is a case or two where Paul said maybe it would be better, But do you know what the church was back then? A church then is where Paul had a lot of experience of dragging women and men out into the street and publicly embarrassing them, killing them, if you would, like Stephen is an example. A woman, which is the foundation of the family, the nest, was a lot easier to embarrass publicly when caught being a Christian. So it was common sense to a part that some of the things were said, not ordered by God, but Paul says, it is my better feeling that we should at this time do this. Well, times change. They haven't drugged too many people out of churches here lately, and I would say that they'd better not start trying. That came out right, didn't it? Yeah. It's because that would not be tolerated in this nation today or in a lot of nations. And so, really, tradition of man has put the burden on woman that she should not speak in church. You know why? I can really tell you why. Because there are a whole lot of women that are just smarter than a whole lot of men that are speaking from churches. They're more intelligent. They have more love and more understanding for God's Word. Were there women teachers in the New Testament? The answer is yes. Very good ones. Very, very good ones. I was open to one spot, but the Spirit moves me. I'm going to turn to another. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 16, and I want to read something to you. You can turn there if you like. This is a salutation. This is like where we begin to wind down a meeting, and we begin to give credits to who has done a good job and who has worked well and who has served God well. Well, that's what Paul is doing in his Romans letter. Now, I wonder how many men and women he mentioned in this letter, or did the women really do anything? Was it his will that women shouldn't do anything in church? Romans 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Well, that's strange, isn't it? For Paul to be so hard on women, he remembers Phoebe first in the salutation, which is a servant of the church, which is at Shinkari. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. He wants you to look at her as a saint. And that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. A woman having business in the church? Come on now. Paul wouldn't say that. He did. I mean, it's written. It's just that, why is it that men preachers usually skip over these parts? Oh, it's just a salutation. You can read that for yourself, you know. And Phoebe won't care. Probably she didn't, you know. All right. What's her business? She hath need of you, for she hath been a secure of many and of myself also. She has helped us straight on and study in the Lord. Hey, that's quite a compliment. That's a fantastic compliment. Oh, well, so much for Phoebe. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Ooh, naughty Paul. He put the woman first. Well, now, we shouldn't have that, should we? I'll tell you something else. Paul was so attracted to the work that Priscilla did that in Timothy calls her Prisca. Tell Prisca hi for me. Okay? Tell Prisca. You see, the reason Priscilla is mentioned before Aquila is she was the one that did the preaching in the family. She was a woman. She was a woman of God. And yes, she was in the New Testament. She was the one that taught Apollo. And what a ministry that brought in. Don't try to take that away from her. I look at more as individuals that God gives gifts. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if God gives a puppy dog. This is going to come out wrong, and I'm not talking down at anybody, but I'm just going to tell you, if God gives a puppy dog a gift to accomplish something, and here's some old boy that's just claiming something, and I know the gifted one is the dog, I'm going to listen to the dog, all right? That's way out of shape, but you understand what I'm saying. It's either, I don't care who God chooses, if he chooses a man or a woman, if they have the true gift of God, you'd better listen. Well, I don't want to hear no woman. You're not hearing a woman, you're hearing God. If you want to mishear God and miss the train, go ahead. Because whoever God chooses, he's going to use, and he's already warned you, I'm going to use both of them. All right? I'm not really for women's right or what is it they call the Ms. people or anything like that. I'm just fair, all right? I'm just fair in God's word. It's written that way, and I don't like to see people twist my Father's word. Well, there's Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. Well, now there's two women. What is this business? Two women preachers. Well, let's try our luck on down. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom my, not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. I mean, that girl got around. She preached everywhere. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary. Oh, for heaven's sake, another woman. Mary. We got Phoebe, Priscilla, and now Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia. Well, Junia, there's another woman. Do you get my point? Who says women are not important in God's word? The only reason that they're not taught as important is many preachers leave them out. They don't teach the whole word.
Well, where does it say a woman could be a prophet?
Well, let's go to Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to get right down here where Paul is preaching a little bit about the time that Satan and his fallen angels will be throwing out on the earth, because that's why a woman, in some places they church, don't you let a woman in a church without a hat, keep her head covered. The veil is Christ that you're supposed to keep between you and Satan because of what? Because of the verse 10 in 1 Corinthians 11. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. What angels? The same ones that seduced them in Genesis chapter 6. Because as Jesus said, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. Michael, Revelation chapter 12 verse 7, is going to boot those fallen angels back out on earth again. And a Christian woman had better have Christ on her head, which means in her mind, which means she better know the Word of God, or she's liable to be seduced literally by the same creeps that came to this earth in Genesis 6. It's going to happen again. Read it in Matthew 24. It's the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's why a woman is supposed... That's why... And it says it's not fair that a man should have long hair. What it means is a man, at this time, he meant him to have a little muscle in his arm, and if one of those angels should have, and they wouldn't, most likely, because it's the woman they're after. But in other words, a man was supposed to stand up and be a man, and not stand behind a shield, but to be with a man within himself, all right? But what does it say? Let me see, up here in verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth, a woman that prophesieth is the prophetess. All right? She has a gift from God. With her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. That means without the veil of Christ on in place. We're not really literally talking about apparel. Nothing wrong with wearing hats or not wearing hats or something. It's just that this means have the knowledge in your mind of what you're about. What is this word, prophecy? It means to teach or relay a message from God. Yes, even the prophets of this book that you hold there. Well, how could a prophetess then teach if she wasn't allowed to teach the Word of God or speak before people? Priscilla sure did. And I've got an idea that when Priscilla dressed you down, you see, a good minister is not just a soothsayer. All of us slip and fall. I'm not talking about personal life, but I'm just talking about in a congregation. They got to stand up. You know what I mean? You've got to. The responsibility of order falls on the head of the church. And so it is. And the best way is if you have problems, nip it in the bud. All right? All people basically are wonderful people, but when we don't communicate, we have problems, all right? And in my lifetime, I've known a lot of women that were very good They just have a patience about them that they can say, well, now don't get upset. Just listen a moment. Let's see if we can figure this out. You know that old way they have of saying that when you say, I'm ready. You know, we'll get this over with. Right. Oh, now just listen a minute, you know. They have that way, see. That's wisdom also. All right? So, yeah, this Paul wrote this. And he said that women prophesied in church. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 21. What about back at the time of Acts when Peter and Paul and the rest of them were traveling around, the church was being established? Acts 21, verse 9. This old Philip. Philip was one of the seven that was chosen. He was the head of the house. It says, well, let's start with verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, or Caesarea, but properly pronounced Caesarea, all right? And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, one of those seven picked back when Stephen was picked, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Poor Philip. Can you think about that, living in a home with four women preachers, all under one roof? Whew. I mean, Philip didn't have to go out and preach much anymore. He could just send whomever he chose, and I bet you they were good, too. I bet they were good at what they did. They had a good teacher, their old daddy. He was a preacher, and he sent out those women preachers, too. All four of them were preachers, teachers. So where do we get off with this stuff women are not supposed to teach? It's not biblical. Well, that's a lie. It's a bunch of malarkey. It's traditions of men, people that do not understand God's word. Again, I reiterate. It's according to who or whom God chooses. It's up to Him. You know, some people will say, not very often, but they'll say, well, who are you going to appoint to take your place? I'm not going to appoint anybody to take my place. That's not my business. I'm going to tell you what. You all would be the sorriest bunch if you let man appoint the next leader of this church. God gives gifts, and God just makes it known, because the mantle always falls on whom God wants it to fall on, not necessarily what some board or some man might want. You might say, who picks your preacher? You better say God does. Because a gift, you don't have to ask, well, I wonder if that's a man of God or a woman of God. You don't. Watch them. Listen to them a minute. You'll know. You don't. There's no big mystery to it. You can see God working in the lives of people. I really, you know what I'm talking about. I can see it in all of you. I know just like that. I can just see the Spirit and feel it. If your discernment is sensitive, you know where gifts are. So all gifts make room for themselves, or God wouldn't have given it to you, all right? Okay, so poor old Philip, he either had a lot of help or he had a lot of preaching going on. I wonder who said the blessing over meals, you know. Boy, just take turns. Old Philip being a preacher and four daughters that were all preachers too. Let's get back to the Old Testament. No, that's back when Saul and them took swords and, I mean, javelins and whoom, nailed them to the wall. Heavy, heavy, heavy stuff. All right? Well, let's go back to 2 Kings 22. Chapter 22. You all remember Deborah. I'm sorry. Well, I'll tell you what. While we're here, we'll just stay here. I want to introduce you to another friend of mine. Just forget the statement about old Saul and the swords and the sabers and all that kind of rattling stuff, all right? We're going to talk about wisdom again. When Josiah was king, he was really a good old boy, all right? He tried to serve God, but they had messed around and they lost the Bible. They lost the scroll. And he really tried to do right regardless of that, so he sent a crew down and he said, "Hey, go down there and clean out that temple, patch the roof, and get all this stuff straightened out. Here's the money, go do it. I love the father and his house should be taken care of." And the old boy goes down, starts digging around in that old house, and whoo, what's this? He found the scroll. And he took it to the king and told him about it, and the king, he become, well, let's just pick it up here. Verse 11. "And it came to pass," this is Second Kings chapter 22. "And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes." I mean, they were living in sin and didn't even know it. Why? They didn't have the book. "And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest," who is this? The priest. I want you to get these titles now. Good. "And Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Micah, and Shaphan, the scribe." Here we got a priest and a scribe, and we got some another set of scribes there, though they're not. It's not written. "And Shaphan, the scribe, and Ashahiah, a servant of the king, saying, 'Go ye and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us.'" I want to know what the Lord has to say about this. He says this to the priest and to a whole set of scribes. You know who those are? That's your muckety ducks, friends. Those are the people that are supposed to be in the know, that really know it all. Okay? 14, "So Hilkiah, the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan," these are scribes, "and Ashahiah went unto Huldah." That's a woman, friends. That is a girl. The priest and the scribes all went to this little old lady. The prophetess. There we got a prophetess back in the old days, and yep, she's a woman. "The wife of Shalom," she's even married, "and the son of Tikva, the son of Horhaz, keeper of the wardrobe." Her husband made his living by keeping the wardrobe. How did she make her living? "Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college." Downtown college. All right. The Jerusalem College, the house of knowledge. So the king, the chief priest, and all the scribes went down to the college. Now, this is really comical. You know what the traditions say if you start reading scholars' commentaries on this? They'll say, what she really taught was the kindergarten at college. You know, kept the class there at the kindergarten, taught little children. Isn't that stupid? Now, why would the king say, "Go down to Huldah, and ask her what these things mean"? After all, she does teach the little children. I don't think even a king would have gone that far, you know. I think the priest would have been insulted. The priest wasn't insulted. He went there seeking knowledge at the college. All right, let's go on a little 15. "And she said," not he said, "she said unto them, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read.'" Hey, that's laying it on pretty heavy. I mean, she did all right, didn't she? I mean, she said, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, I would think that would make some of the dear reverends a little uncomfortable. When they say, a woman should stay in her place. Yeah, at the college, thus saith the Lord. Well, did it happen every day? Well, anytime they wanted the real truth, it did. That's where they had to go to get it. So what I'm saying is, whoever God chooses, he's in control. And if he decides to use a woman, he's going to use a woman. Now, I have to admit that the reason, the foundation of this started in a seed in the mind of Doug, who is staying at the chapel now, rewriting a whole new program for us, Doug Griffith. I don't know. Doug, are you in here? Stand up, Doug. Now, ladies, that's the one that said, the women ought to know about this. All right, how about that? The women should know about Hulda, the college keeper. There you have it, Doug. Okay, I think it's precious. I really do. But I still want to tell you about one other lady, all right? Listen, it doesn't matter whether it's male or female. If God speaks through somebody and the message comes, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, it's still God's words, not hers. If it's a man, it's not his. So what's everybody so uptight about? It's God's word, regardless of how he delivers it. You remember what he spoke to Balaam through an ass. All right? I mean, right out there, that old burro on the road that day, the burro says, whoa, stop here. There's an angel out in front of me, you idiot. Can't you see him? You know? And God was showing the old prophet that the mule, if he wanted to use him, had better eyes than he did, see? So, I mean, I'm sure God has a sense of humor. You know what I mean? That when he gets ready to use something, he's going to get the job done. You know? So, now, I want to get down to one of my favorite people, and you all know who it is if you've heard my tape on Deborah. All right? Woo, she's my kind of woman. Love her. Judges. Back in Judges chapter 4. Oh, I love this story. I could just tell it over and over. Judges, you know what the judges were. That's what Israel had before it had kings. It just had a person that was called a judge, and they sit in the gate, and people walked up and said, this is our problem. And the judge said, this is how it is. And the judgment was passed, and it was by God's law. There was no jury. I mean, that was it. They ruled, all right? Okay, let's go down to chapter 4, and let's take verse 4. And Deborah, this is Queen Bee. That's what that means in the Hebrew tongue, all right? A prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. That poor old boy didn't have a chance, did he? I mean, he just said, yes, honey. All right. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Again, the good reverends have a little trouble with Deborah because she was the equivalent of being the queen of Israel. I mean, she told everybody how the cow ate the cabbage. She was the head honcho. All right? She was, in fact, the queen bee. All right? And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinadab, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. She's calling him on the carpet, you understand? She said, didn't the Lord tell you to take that force to go down there and attack? And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. All you got to do, God said through her, get your men together, go down by that river, and God says, I'll wipe them out for you. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, I love it. Captain of the army says to Deborah, if you'll go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. Oh, isn't that something? Oh, I love to lay that on the reverends, you know? Yeah. Guys, a woman shall be silent in the house of God. Well, yeah.
Woo! Nine. And she said, I will surely go with thee.
I'm not afraid to go. I'll go with you, old top.
Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor.
I'll go with you, all right, but friend, the glory I'm going to strip right off your shoulder. Just remove the general stars there, old buddy.
For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman.
You got it? Take the general down there, but if this woman's got to go along, the woman's going to get the general star. You can just suffer, buddy.
And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, to make a long story short, and this is kind of going to make this as kind of a short sermon, but I've loved it anyway. I just love doing this. I'm glad you thought of it, Doug. If any of you men have any objections to this, you know who to talk to back there. That's all right, isn't it, Doug? I said, if any of these men oppose to this, I'm going to let them take it up with you, all right? All right. Anyway, they get down there, see, and old Sisera takes off across the bushes, see, out across the river. I mean, he's running like a jackrabbit, getting away from the battle because God took over. But God's word, even though it came from the mouth of a woman, our sweet Deborah, listen to this. Verse 18. And Jael, this is our enemy, went out to meet Sisera, this is our enemy here, Sisera, and said unto him, turn in, my lord. Jael, incidentally, is a woman. And a sweet little woman at that. Very accommodating here to Sisera. Sisera was a friend of her husband's, see. But when God decides to take over someone's mind, he does. So Jael is a very nice lady. And Jael went out to meet Sisera when she saw him coming and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. I'll tell you what, when a woman says that to you, you better watch out, buddy. All right? And when he had turned in into her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle, a rug, going to hide him. She knew what was going on, so God had told her. She says, trust me. Trust me, Sisera. Hide under this rug, honey. Whoa, 19. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk. You know what? This is buttermilk, all right? In the Hebrew, she opened him a bottle of buttermilk and gave him drink and covered him. Tell you what, you watch these women that offer you buttermilk, right? I mean, she's playing this all the way, see? Covered him up. Rest dear, honey. Rest good, honey. All right? So she covers him up again there. Again, he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here? Thou shalt say, no, because there really wasn't anyway. Then, I mean, get this real good. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. This is my kind of woman, listen. Took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly. Oh, I love that word, softly. She went unto him and smote the nail, all right, into his temples. What a wonderful girl, you know. Smote and fastened it into the ground. Woo! Watch that buttermilk. Whoa. For he was fast asleep, worried, so he died. So you see, Deborah said, hey, old buddy general, God's going to give us the victory, but you're not going to get the credit for it. Some woman is. See, God's pretty fair. I don't know how the reverends deal with that. I've never heard one of them teach it, but I love to teach it, you know. Oh, I mean no disrespect. But listen, God has used women all down through the scriptures. Our Lord Jesus Christ was born to a virgin. So women have always had a part, and the reason I feel it's very serious is that we're coming into that time when God's going to appoint and issue gifts to witness in this end generation. So don't feel exempt from the draft.
I can't, it's so late in this. too many hours of speaking. Draft. I'll think in association with Draft Dodger. And then I got it, okay? Don't ask me how that came to be. I don't like them even. Maybe that was it. But you're not exempt. And I'm going to tell you something. Because of your physical condition, there are no four F's. Everybody's A number one. As long as you're willing to serve. Sex has nothing to do with it. God's calling forth the people. But it's not new, is what I'm telling you. Don't think it's something new under the sun. God has used women from day one. And, you know, I might tell you about... This is Women's Month. How many of you knew that? Maybe I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure it is. My sister-in-law will know. Is Martha in here? I think it is. I'm sure it is. I'm sure this is... Maybe it's Women's Week or whatever. Maybe we shouldn't have given them a whole month. Gosh, they could take over the whole country by then. But maybe it's week, I guess, all right? So the Postal Department kind of blew up one of its earlier people just to show you that women still, to this day, there's a few JLs and Debras and Huldas around. In 1877... the Pony Express wanted very skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert rider, willing to risk death daily, orphans, preferred, wages $25 a week. That's getting right up there, isn't it? Anyway, that's the ad that was published for Pony Express riders. You know, it only lasted about a year, but it was a dangerous thing. All qualifications except fella and not over 18 were met when Martha Jane Burke became her alleged postal career, began it as a Postal Express rider in 1876 at the age of 24. Did you know there was a woman Pony Express rider? There was. It was Mary Jane Burke. And she rode between Custer, Montana, and Deadwood, South Dakota. I don't know if y'all know, that's bad country in those days, see. A distance of 50 miles, her reputation as an excellent rider and quick shot were factors in deterring robbers. Many riders before her had been robbed of their mail, packages, and money. She made a round trip every 2 days, which was considered very good riding in that part of the country. The following is her account of one day in the spring of 1877. And she was. She had a reputation. I mean, if there was a rabbit moved a quarter down the way, she could bingo, you know. You just didn't mess with that girl, all right? This is her report and her own personal account of it. I had gone about 12 miles from Deadwood at the mouth of Whitewood Creek when I met the Overland Mail running from Cheyenne to Deadwood. It's a stagecoach. The horse is on a run about 200 yards from the station. Upon looking closely, I saw they were pursued by Indians. The horses ran to the barn, as was their custom, and as the horses stopped, I rode up alongside of the coach and found the driver, John Slaughter, lying face downwards in the boot of the stage. You know, that's up where the rider's feet go down there. Having been shot by the Indians. When the stage got to the station, the Indians hid in the bushes. You know why? They always hid in the bushes when Mary came through. True. True. I immediately removed all baggage, which this is probably what the Indians wanted in the first place, say, from this coach except the mail. I then took the driver's seat, and with all haste, I drove to Deadwood carrying the six passengers and the dead driver. So here we got a woman with six passengers down in the stagecoach, and she makes the Indians take to the bush. She throws the baggage off, so she naturally not going to tire those horses. They've already made one trip, so they'd lighten her up. That's smart. And took those passengers back to safety. If you do not recall the name Mary Jane Burke, the Pony Express rider, perhaps you know her by the name for which she was best known by or throughout the West, Calamity Jane. All right, so let's give the women a hand, men. All right. So, sometimes I think that people do not take time to just really absorb the Word of God. And I think sometimes that you can feel intimidated if you're not careful. And I don't really. I don't feel intimidated by these reports of women, because look how much the men did. I'm teasing. All right, I'm sorry. It's late along in the conference, and the Irish is getting hard to hold. All right. So, no, I'm glad we made this. This is a short lecture, but I'm glad we made it. It's one I've wanted to make for a long time, and I'm glad Doug encouraged me to, you know, the Holy Spirit moves in many ways to get it done, because the hour is late. And when you know you're going to have to make a stand, sometimes it's better if you mentally prepare yourself for just exactly how it's going to be. And as long as we've got still that caliber of people as Calamity Jane, for there's not going to be any of that heavy stuff like that, but spiritually able to stand, I thank God for His daughters. And I know that Satan is very attracted to them. He's always tried to stop them. He never shall. He never shall, for they are the daughters of the living God. I love them. All right. God bless you. That's it.